On September 11, 2001, I was living in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. That morning, I was listening to the radio as I drove downtown for a meeting. The radio was commemorating other countries' 9/11s. Chile's 9/11 was 9/11/1973, when a CIA-financed coup d'etat overthrew the elected government of Salvador Allende. Haiti's 9/11 was September 11, 1993, when Antoine Ismary, a wealthy pro-democracy activist, was pulled from a mass at the Sacré-Cœur Church and executed on the sidewalk. Sacré-Cœur was packed that day for a commemoration of a 1988 paramilitary attack against the Saint Jean Bosco Church, where Father Jean-Bertrand Aristide was saying mass. Between the time I packed my car and my arrival at the meeting, 9/11 had acquired a new meaning. Instead of discussing justice in Haiti, we joined millions worldwide staring at CNN, trying to comprehend what had just happened. It was hard for me to be away from family and friends in the U.S. at that time, but being in Haiti had many blessings. All the Haitians I knew either stopped by or called to ask after my mood, my family and friends, especially those in New York. Strangers would stop me in the street to express their heartfelt sympathy. I believe that Haitians were so truly sympathetic, in part because they had suffered so much terror themselves, from the terrors of slavery, through foreign occupations and state-sponsored terror, through the daily terrors of not being able to feed one's children or obtain treatment for a treatable disease. It was inspiring to see Haitians turn such trauma around and use it as a foundation for comforting others. I doubt Haitian radio will talk much about Antoine Ismary or the Saint Jean Bosco attack or Salvador Allende this weekend. In part, that's because Haitians will be thinking about the losses we suffered in the United States. But in Haiti, the memories of the killings at Saint Jean Bosco and Sacré-Cœur are, for many, eclipsed by the more deadly traumas that have struck the country since 9/11/2001. On February 29, 2004, a U.S. government plane, one of the ones used to render terror suspects to torture sites, kidnapped Haiti's elected president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, and sent him to the Central African Republic. U.S. troops occupied the country, and a U.S. resident was flown in from Boca Raton, Florida, to run it. Over the next 2 years, twice as many Haitians died in political violence as Americans died in the World Trade Center attacks. The U.S. troops were needed elsewhere, so they were replaced by U.N. troops, and in September 2001, those troops negligently dumped cholera-contaminated human waste into the top of Haiti's largest river system. So far, over twice as many Haitians have died from cholera as Americans died on 9/11, and the disease will keep on killing for years. Of course, the January 12th earthquake in Haiti is one of this century's deadliest events behind the Iraq War. One of the people convicted in absentia for executing Antoine Ismary at Sacré-Cœur was Jodel Chamblain, a leader in FRAP, a death squad supported by U.S. intelligence services. Mr. Chamblain was acquitted in a show trial after the 2004 coup. He surfaced publicly this year coordinating the security for former dictator Jean-Claude Duvalier, whose current ability to flit around Haiti's poshest restaurants and clubs could not have been imagined 10 years ago. Michel Francois, also convicted for Ismary's killing, is living in comfortable exile in Honduras. When Colonel Francois was running his death squads from 1991 to 1994, one of his outspoken supporters was a musician named Michel Martelly, who is now president of Haiti after receiving the support of Secretary of State Clinton and 18% of Haiti's registered voters. This isn't an optimistic reflection on the 10 years since 9/11, but I've not seen many that are more upbeat. If there is hope, it is in the recognition that Americans have the same capacity for empathy that Haitians do. We can, if we choose to do so, turn our anger and fear from our traumas around and use it as a foundation for understanding trauma elsewhere in the world, including trauma inflicted by our own policies. Accessing that empathy will be good for the rest of the world, but it may be even better for the United States. Haitians will keep fighting for their right to democracy and sovereignty and for justice for the victims of Jean-Claude Duvalier, the cholera epidemic, and the earthquake. We can all start exercising our empathy right now by joining them. To find out what you can do to help, visit our website, www.haitijustice.org. Thank you.